your rock, Nathan?
Amen.
So I'm going to tell you, the ground underneath is crumbling. You hang on to the rock. Hang on to the rock. Rock of Ages. What a beautiful, beautiful song. I need for you to remember a real close family. Dear friends of mine. Had a family member last night commit suicide. This family is hurting beyond measure. But I want you and I to understand something. Satan is out to destroy you, people you love, and everything around you. And if we're not hanging on to this rock of ages, he will destroy us. That rock is Jesus. If we have Jesus, if we're hanging on to Jesus, we believe in Jesus, he is our strength. He is our protection. He's the one who gives us grace. One who is absolutely there for us. There is never a moment in time when you are hopeless when you have Jesus. I believe that. The people that I feel the most sorry for are the people who don't have Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know where they're running to, where they're going to, but believe me, leaving this world without Jesus is not going to be a good sign. Understand, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Give the Lord a hell of a applause. All right, Brother Larry, here we go if you're ready, sir. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 3, and 6. I have preached on faith a lot. But because of some certain circumstances and some people that I've counseled and some things that others are going through, emails that I get from people who watch us on the internet, we need to understand in the last days in which we are living, and we are truly living in the last days, I believe that with all my heart, we as God's people have to hang on to Jesus. And the way that we show that we're hanging on is through our faith. I want you to look what it says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. May we truly come to understand what that means in this hour. Bow your head to the knees. Father, may everything that we do always bring glory to the kingdom of God. Father, we pray for forgiveness where we have failed you. Father, we want to come clean to the throne of grace today. Father, we want to pray that your word as it goes forth today goes forth with love, grace, conviction, and forgiveness. But Father, you're on the throne. You are on the throne. We just need to believe it. And we need to believe it by faith. Father, may we look to understand how faith plays a role in our everyday life. From salvation to the resurrection. Faith should be part of our lives. Every day. Father, bless these words. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we pray. Everyone said?
Amen.
Look at this. The King James Version says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Basically, what this means in everyday language is the hope that I have is not necessarily the things that I see. My hope is in God. I don't see God face to face like I see you. My hope is in Jesus Christ. I didn't live when Jesus walked on this earth. My hope is in the fact that Jesus died for me, though the fact I never saw him die on the cross. I wasn't there. My hope is based on the fact that Jesus resurrected from the grave, though I didn't know. I've never been there. I wasn't there when he died, I wasn't there when he rose from the grave. My hope is based on the Word of God. I wasn't there when it was written. But here's what I believe. Because I have to believe this by faith. Walk with me through this. I want you to go through it. Because what this means is, even though I wasn't there for any of that, I wasn't there when God's Word was written. But I believe by faith, because it's not anything that I was there to see personally, but I believe in God's Word, because when God's Word says it, I believe it. I have to believe it by what? By faith. Stay with me. I've got to believe it by what? Faith. That's how I believe it. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all indwelt within me. Because it is the substance of things hoped for, and yet I've never seen it. Now, I never saw my great-grandparents. Great-great-great-grandparents. Great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. Because I didn't see them, I'm here. Somebody brought me into this world. And I have to take that by faith. I wasn't there, but I'm here. That went right over your head. I don't have no memory of that. All I remember is that I was a sweet, wonderful child of grace. That's all I remember. That's right. Thank you. Now, some people in here may know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Set me free. Thank you. Now, understanding this real component of faith is the whole key to everything in Christian life. Everything. Because it really is what Christianity has founded upon. Now look at verse 3. It's an interesting way of putting this. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. How do we know that? Because God's Word what? Says it. God says, in the beginning, I was there. I was there. I was the one who shaped the earth. I was the one who made the earth. We live on the earth. We see it. We went there when it was made. But we take by faith that God's the one that made it. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God made it. We can see the earth, but we can't see God. Not in the way that we see each other. We can say we see God in nature and all of that, but we don't see God in the way that we see each other. But we know the earth's here. We're living on it. You do know you're on the earth, don't you? Because if not, we got a whole set of other problems I got to deal with. Don't make me get into psychology, Carl. You're on the earth, Carl. Okay. All right. We got that settled, I want to make sure. I don't want to go over nobody's head. You're on the planet right now. Okay? Some of you are way off the planet, but you're on the planet right now. All right? So we know that by faith, we know that God made this world. He made everything that's a part of the world, which means He made me. Made you. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
But here's what's real neat about faith. Even though God made us, He doesn't force Himself upon us. And He gives us something called a free will. Sometimes it's hard for people to understand. You have a free will here today. You know that? You really do. Free will is a fancy way of saying you have choices. Every one of you here have had choices in life. You've made good choices, you've made bad choices. But you all are plotted to the choices that you've made. Everybody with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
That's exactly right. We're all here because of those choices. Well, you have a choice when it comes to God. To believe in Him by faith. To believe that He loved you so much that He would literally, and I mean literally because I believe that Jesus was real and walked on this earth just like I'm walking on it now, literally allowed His Son to come to this world. Not only to come to this world, but to be born just like you and I through that of a woman. lived his life. The Bible says he lived a perfect life without sin. I believe that. No person would ever do that. And he became sacrifice for sin. Because God, as holy as God is, the Bible says, cannot look upon sin. He cannot look at you and see sin. If he does, you're damned. But when he looks at me, he doesn't see Roger. What he sees is grace. Because his son died for me. And even though I said in the very beginning I was not there, I believe that by faith. I want to teach you as much as preach to you, because I want to tell that world to understand this. This is how important this is. By faith, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. By faith. By faith. That's the only way you can do it. Nobody lived during that time. Nobody knows what Jesus did. We read it in God's Word. And we accept it by faith that God loved me. For God so loved the world. He so loved me. Forgave me. Because I believe in Jesus Christ. Not only the cross, but listen to me closely. We got to get beyond the cross, or we're not going to make it. The cross was there for the sacrifice of sin. That's love. That's love. And the greatest love is this, that no man understands the fact that Jesus laid down his life. He laid it down for you. Here's the real power. He came back 3 days later. He conquered death. Now, I've got to believe that by faith as well. I've got to believe the cross. I've got to believe in the resurrection. You take one or the other out, they come together as a team. You understand that? One and one means two, okay? Or in this case, one and one means three. Because we have death, we have resurrection, equals life. Now, when I believe that by faith, and I accept that by faith because God's Word says it, and I believe it, that I was called saved. And what am I saved from? Because the Bible also says that there is a hell. I'm saved from Satan's power and hell. You with me so far? Say amen to the Lord. Have a love. You with me? And I'm going to do this slowly, and I know most of you in this congregation understand this, but I want to make sure the internet world understands completely what faith is all about, because I'm laying the groundwork here. Okay? I'm laying the groundwork for what I'm going to do next. Now, once we're saved and we've accepted Jesus by faith, now we've got to live out our lives as what? Christian people. That's not easy. That's not easy because here's what Satan wants to do. Even though he cannot come after my soul, he wants to come after my witness. Because one of the grandest things that I'm going to do as a child of God, and I've accepted him by faith, that once I become a child of God, is to live my life for him, which is another way of saying I'm a witness for him. I live my life as a Christian before the rest of the world. My family, people I work with, people I play with, no matter what. Whether I'm 12 or 102, that's what my job is while I'm here on this earth, is to live my life for Jesus. Amen. And become a witness for him. Satan didn't want that, because what happens when I become a witness for him, I show my faith to others. You with me so far? That's what I do. I accept Jesus by faith. I show my faith to others. I say, I wasn't there when Jesus died for me, but I believe that. Well, how do you believe that? I accept it by faith. I accept it by faith. That's the only way you're going to do it. If you can accept it by faith, you're not going to accept it. You accept it by faith. You understand that. Now, the Bible says that once that happens, Satan's going to cut us with everything that he can to stop that witness. Because what happens is when I share my faith with you, then you accept Jesus Christ through your faith, and then the church begins to grow. Faith starts to grow. Because as your faith grows, you get stronger in your witness, you get stronger in your belief, you get stronger in the ways that you live your life so that others can see Jesus in you. And you also get stronger against Satan, because he's still going to come at you. But what is saving you from Satan is not you, it's your faith in Jesus Christ that is saving you and keeping you strong and keeping you a witness for him. You understand that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Larry, here we go. Now, why don't you walk with me? But without faith, it is impossible to please him being God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently means every day. This is a daily part of my routine. Everybody know what a routine is? Do you have a routine? You have a routine in your days. You do certain things at a certain time every day. That's called a routine. Most people in the working world, that's what you've got, a routine. You got a certain time you get up, you go to work, you know what you're doing. You come home, you eat, you argue, you love, you whatever the case may be. You get in a routine. It's something that you do every day. If we are a child of God, every day of our lives, we seek Him. And when we do, look what it says. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How does God reward me? Well, it's pretty simple. The fact that I'm standing before you today, God rewarded me. Whatever I have, whatever it may be, whether I have a dollar or have a million, whether I have a roof over my head, no matter how big that roof is, if it's a little roof over my head or a big roof, whatever I have, God has given me His grace and watches over me and rewards me because He rewards him that seek Him. How do I seek Him? I seek Him through faith. That's how I seek Him. That's how I pray to Him, is through faith. I'm praying to something I've never seen. Isn't that true? Aren't you praying to something you've never seen? That means you're praying by faith. You're seeking Him through prayer. And when you do that, you are rewarded. Every one of us here can say, give testimony how much God has rewarded us. Now, the next piece of scriptures that I'm going to look at, I'm going to walk you through it. I want you to see something. Because I don't want you to be blinded by this. Just because you're walking by grace and faith doesn't mean that Satan's not going to come at you. Because I promise you, even as you sit here right now, he's got a plan to come against you. All right, Brother Larry, here we go. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And believe me, Paul knows exactly what he means when he says here. Corinth was the most time that Paul ever spent in any one city during his travels in the New Testament was Corinth. Now, and I've said this many times to teach you real quick before I get into this. Corinth is sin city of the biblical age. Everything that was wrong, if you be wrong, was there. Okay? People have referred to it as the Las Vegas of the biblical day. I mean, it was a coastal town. Sailors were there. Military was there. Sin was there. Everything you can imagine went on in Corinth of the day. Now Paul, no wonder he stays there so long, because he's right in the middle of this. He's bringing faith, grace, forgiveness, love, and that God is alive through His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe me, he's got trouble everywhere around him. It's coming at him. Look what he says here. We are troubled on every side, and yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Wow. What a testimony. You know, I would be venturous to say that right now you are troubled on every side. You're perplexed. You got a lot thrown at you. You got a lot you're dealing with. Persecuted? Oh, absolutely. Cast down? Oh, I believe that. Yeah. Yeah. Because you see, it's the subtle things that Satan comes at you with that you've got to watch for. You know, he doesn't come at you with some type of a big old shotgun. It just scatters it. He comes little at a time. Little at a time. Little at a time. Because when he comes at you a little at a time, you can just pick a little bit. A little pick today. You get a little sore. It's like a sting. If you don't take care of that sting, it gets bigger, doesn't it? But when you're stung, and everybody here knows what that is to be stung, you put medicine on it. You take care of it. Because it's bothering you. It hurts. Sin hurts. But if you don't take care of it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And bigger, and bigger, and bigger, and bigger. You with me so far? Then the next thing you know, I am troubled on every side. I am distressed. I am perplexed. I am in despair. Because now it's gone from a little sting to something that can take my life. And this is exactly how Satan comes to every one of us. And listen, internet world, this is how he comes to destroy you. He doesn't come as some great big horrible thing that scares you in the church. He just starts off little by little till he picks you apart and goes nothing left. And if you don't see that early enough, before you know it, there'll be nothing left. You with me so far? Say amen.
Amen.
Because I promise you this is what it does. But no matter what, no matter what he does, no matter what, even though I'm troubled on every side, I'm not going to get distressed. And you want to know why? Because it's very easy to get distressed. Just because when it gets right down to it, I'm not the one in control. I need to step out by faith and believe the one in control. And if I'm walking and I'm riding through this snowstorm, whatever this storm may be in my life, and the Bible uses storms to predict trouble. Because everybody knows where it is to be a storm. Anybody here, you've lived through rain, you've lived through wind, you've lived through tornado, you've lived through fire, you've seen what it is, what weather can do. It can come at you all of a sudden, and it can destroy, and it can kill. Everybody with me so far? Say amen.
Amen.
But you know, Jesus controls that. When they was on the boats and the waves going every which way, they all thought they were going to die. All Jesus said was, stay calm. He told the waters to calm. Now the people on the boat didn't calm that water, did they? Did they?
No!
Who calmed the water?
Jesus.
Jesus. Never forget who can bring calmness in your life. When you can't bring it, you go to the one that can. Jesus. 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 Perplexed. Perplexed means I'm troubled. I mean, I can't think straight. I can't sleep. I'm just... You know, I'm nervous. I'm anxious. You've been like that before? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, sure you have. Sure you have. Next thing you know, I dwell so much on it that I truly get in despair. And despair means I become hopeless. There's not a time on this planet when a Christian should ever get hopeless. Because I promise you, hope is right in front of you. Turn to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Hug Jesus. I promise you, there he is. Because when I feel like I'm persecuted, I'm never going to be forsaken. When I feel like I'm cast down, there's somebody there that's going to lift me up. You can go to anybody you want to lift you up. And I'm not saying other Christian people can't uplift. But I'm just telling you this. The only person who's ever reached down and got me when I was in the gutter so low that I couldn't get up was Jesus. Because he was there with me. He loved me. He forgave me for getting in that gutter, and he lifted me out and washed me off because of faith. Give a Lord a hand of applause. One day we will be with him for eternity. said,
Amen.
Lord, have a pause. Stand with me, please. So every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, the precious, holy name of Jesus, may your grace abound today. May your grace be received today. May we understand that by faith, we believe in Jesus. For being one here today that's lost, especially anybody by internet that's watching that's lost, all they've got to do is believe in Jesus. Accept Jesus. Say, Jesus, come into my life and change me. I know I'm a sinner, and I'm going to be saved by grace today. No matter where you're at, in the darkness of night, or in the light of day, Jesus will come into your life and change you for eternity. If you're here in this audience today and part of this church, and you need God's grace today, come, let me pray with you. I promise you, His grace is in this room. If you're looking for a good church home, we'd love to have you at Cove Baptist Church. Or maybe you just need a quiet time at this altar, just between you and God. He's here. He's at this altar. His presence is here. Come before Him. Jesus, may your grace abound today. And we thank you. May our faith be strong because we believe in you. In Jesus' most precious and holy name. If your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, would you come? Would you come?